Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 20. Just a simple 3 verse. I hope it will challenge our hearts today. I'll read verse 18, you read verse 19, and we'll all read verse 20 together. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. The Bible says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers," or they were fishermen. Okay, verse 19. Verse 20 together. "And they straightway left their nets and followed him." Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you, thanking you for this opportunity to stand in or sit in your presence. Lord, we know that it is a privilege to worship the King of Kings. It is a privilege to worship the Almighty God. But God, it is a grateful privilege to worship our own Savior, the one who loved us so much, who died on the cross, the blood is shed, and then on the third day he rose again to prove for us once and for all that you are God and you love us so much. So Lord, today if there's one person who do not know this truth, I pray, Lord, that you would help this person to understand. But Father, for the rest of us, as we look in this passage, take our minds and our hearts back 2,000 years ago to this real situation that happened. And Father, may thy Holy Spirit teach us what you want us to hear today. For it is not me that speak, but you, Lord. And I pray that thy word will make a deep impression in our hearts, that we will leave this place a different person from the one who came in. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Let me just double check. In Matthew chapter 4, if you read the context, you'll find that Jesus has just finished the wilderness temptation. He's come out, he has gone forward, and one of the first things he does is to call people to not follow him. Alright, if you read the context, you will realize this calling that Jesus called in verse number 19, "And saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." The Lord Jesus is not calling this Peter and Andrew, and later on James and John. Jesus is not calling them to salvation. He is calling them to service. He's calling them to service. Let's turn to John chapter 1, verse 39 to 41. I want to share what happened when Jesus called them for salvation. Okay? John chapter 1, verse 39. John chapter 1, verse 39, for those of you who need to follow, the verses are also printed inside the bulletin. So some of you may not be too sure. Don't worry, just turn to that. It will help you. Okay? John chapter 1, verse 39 to 41. Sometimes the verses are not there. It's added in. I will let you know as well. John chapter 1, verse 39. John the Baptist was highlighting who Jesus was. And two of them actually came and wanted Jesus to come with them. Alright, in verse 39, he says unto them, Jesus said unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour. Then in verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak, John the Baptist speak, followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Okay, Andrew, Peter, they were all Jewish people. And when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, John the Baptist actually highlighted to them that this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Okay, take away the sin of the world. And so these people were very interested because they were followers of John the Baptist. But then now John the Baptist said, "Hey, don't follow me anymore. Follow him because he's the one who's going to take away your sin." And so two of them came and asked, "Where do you stay, Lord?" And so they stayed with Jesus. One of them they heard was Andrew. And Andrew was Peter's brother. And what did he say in verse 41? He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah." We have found the ones that in the Old Testament he has been told to us about again and again, there will be a Savior coming. You see, Jesus did not come to set up a religion. Please be very clear. He came to save us from our sins. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Jesus did not come to set up a religion. He came to save us from our sin. Matthew 1, 21. This is important. So, salvation is not in a church. Salvation is not in the pastor. Salvation is not in the priest. Salvation is not in your good works, because it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. So God's salvation is in a person. Salvation is in a person. Let's turn to John chapter 14 verse 6. This one you need to turn. Is added in John 14 verse 6. I think many of us should know as Christians this verse. But I want to highlight that John 14 verse 6, salvation is not in any of this, but in the person. John 14 verse 6, let's read it together. Ready? 1, 2, go. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus is very clear. You are not going to go to heaven through the church. You are not going to go to heaven through any earthly man. You are only going to go to heaven when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And that's important, because there are many people who claim to believe in God, but they are not on their way to heaven. Many people say they know who God is, but they are not on their way to heaven. Let me read 1 John chapter 5. 1 John, not John, but 1 John, okay, towards the end. And let's look at verse number 11 and 12. I'll just read that and explain a bit before I go into what we want to talk about today. Salvation is in a person. John 14 says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In 1 John 5, 11, verse 12 says this. This is the record that God has given unto us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that had the Son hath life. And he that had not the Son of God had not life. John is very clear. So what does that mean? How many of you know Bill Gates? How many of you know Bill Gates? Okay? You know his cell phone number? You know his SMS?
You know, you probably follow him on Twitter. Maybe, I don't know. Some people follow. Okay.
I think all of us know who Bill Gates is, right? At least by name, okay? Some of you do follow his website and everything. But do you have Bill Gates? Do you have a relationship with Bill Gates? How many of you say, no, I called him for lunch yesterday or something like that? How many of you would say that? No one. Okay? So, but for me and Brother Roy, do I have Brother Roy? Brother Roy, are you my friend? Sure. Thank you.
Okay.
I have a relationship with him. He that had the Son had life. Many people know about Jesus, but do you have a relationship with Him? That's what verse 1 John 5, 11, 12 means. He that hath the Son hath a relationship with the Son hath life. But he that had not a relationship with Christ hath not life. Does that make sense? I need to know you before I let you into my house. Yes? Okay, there was one time where this salesman came in, and we know he was trying to pull a fast one, and he said, no, we're not interested. Then later on, he said, can I wash my hand? He asked us, I was there, can I wash my hand? I wasn't there. My wife was there. So what he did was, can I wash my hand? It's my wife tried to close the door. He tried to push the door. Okay, I wasn't there. Later on, when I came back, I found out I tried to call the company. I wasn't very happy with, because it's intrusion, it's harassment. That salesman don't have a relationship with us, and we are not going to let him come in. Does that make sense? Okay? Whereas if any of you come to my house, say, come, why? Because we have a relationship. In the same way, the Lord Jesus cannot let people into heaven unless He has a relationship with us. Christians, we need to understand this. He that had the Son had life. He that had not the Son of God hath not life. So, this is a very important first step. So we can see Andrew, James, and Peter and John already had this relationship in John chapter 1. But in Matthew 4, which is our text today, Jesus have already known this group of people a few months already. In Matthew chapter 4, it's a different thing. If you think about it, when was Jesus baptized? Is it before or after the wilderness temptations? Before, right? Jesus was baptized, and that was when John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, take away the sin of the world," right? Then after that, where did Jesus go? Into the wilderness to be tempted, right? So there's a period of time already. Then after that, he went to Galilee to preach. And then as he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, that's when Jesus began to call the people to serve him. Can you see the chronological events? It's very important for us. So this is not a call to salvation. It's a call to serve Christ. So, to serve Christ. Let's look at Titus chapter 3, verse 8. After we have become a Christian, so these people are already saved, we need to realize one thing. As Christians, we are saved to serve. We are saved to serve. In Titus 3, verse 8, the Bible says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly." Paul told the apostle, Paul told the pastor Titus, "I want you to constantly tell the Christians." Constantly tell the Christians, okay? I want to affirm constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Paul says, when the Lord Jesus Christ has come into your life, Pastor Titus, I want you to constantly remind the church to do good works after you have become a Christian. Why? Because it is good and profitable for men. When as a church we can reach out, there are many hurting people in this world. And if we have received the love of Jesus, Paul says, I want you to go and pass it on. Get those people to realize that our Savior is a loving Savior and He wants them in the kingdom of God. God is calling Christians to follow Him so that He can make them fishers of men. That's what Matthew 4:19. Because Jesus told Peter and Andrew, you come and follow me, and I will make you to become the fishers of men. I want to highlight 3 points very quickly. Number one, look at verse 18. 3 points, the call of God to His service. Number one, we need to make a choice to hear His call. We need to make a choice to hear His call. Brother Johnny, what do you mean? Verse 18. Look at verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea. Why? Because they were fishermen. They were fishers. But what do you mean that we need to make a choice to hear His call? I want us as Christians to listen to this. The reason why we need to make a choice to hear His call, because God always calls us when we are busy with our own business. Are you listening? Christians, are you listening? Peter and Andrew were fishing. They were casting their net. That was when Jesus said, I want you to come and follow me. And if you look at the scripture in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, and as I just read, as Jesus passed forth from hence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs. What is the job of Matthew? He was a tax collector. He was seated at where? Where people will come in and out of the city. He's supposed to collect the taxes for the Roman emperor. And what did Jesus say as he walked in and looked at Matthew, who was doing his business? Follow me. Jesus always calls us to his service when we are busy with our own business. You can look at the trend of scripture. Paul was busy on a business to kill Christians. That was his business. Jesus intervened. Don't let this drop that in. Because there are not many people listening to God's call today. Because as Singaporeans, we're so busy with our own life. When God calls us to serve Him, sometimes we ignore that call. Based on this scripture, we need to make a choice to hear His call. The first thing when God calls us is always that we need to make a choice. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 59 and 60. I think it's over there in the verses. Jesus said unto another, follow me. Okay, in this context, Jesus, there were three different men, but I just highlight one, because this is interesting, because this is the only one that Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. You know what the man said? Lord, I will follow you, but you know, allow me to go back and first bury my father. What does that mean? In the Jewish context, it's very important for us to understand. Firstly, the father is not dead yet. The father is not dead yet in this context. Okay? Because otherwise, he will be at the funeral. But no, we know what he's saying. Let me handle my business first. Let me handle my family obligations first. Let me do those things that are important to me first. Lord, after that, I'll come from. How many times have we heard people say, I'll serve God, but let me settle this first. I'll serve God when I settle this first. You know what Jesus said in his response? Let the dead bury the dead. Let other people do that. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. In 1991, I believe, I was talking to a friend. His name is Chris. Chris was telling me, you know, Johnny, you need to be, because an occupational therapist, Singapore needs a lot of occupational therapists. So you need to, I was in Australia then, I was studying, my friend Chris was there, and he was saying, look, you need to, you know, for the sake of Singapore, you know, you need to just be an occupational therapist. Think of the many, every day you'll be seeing so many people, you'll be helping a lot of people. Right? That, but he spoke to me before the service during that particular morning, on a Sunday morning. That particular service, my pastor preached a message and he said this: the world have their doctors, the world have their engineers, the world have their financial consultants. Where is God's preachers? And he was preaching from you. Let the dead bury the dead. But you go and preach the gospel. That morning I raised my hand, I went to the front and said, God, I commit my life to you. We've got many occupational therapists increasing. The world have many. There are people rising up to be engineers and doctors and whatever. But how many people are rising up to say, Lord, I'll follow your call? Are we more interested? You know, we need to make a choice to serve him. It comes with a choice, Christian. After we become, we need to have the choice to follow him, number one. Number two, in verse 19, we need to make a choice. Number one, number two, we need to follow him. Look at verse 19, the first one. And Jesus said unto them, follow me, follow me, follow me. The word follow means, interesting, follow close behind. In the Greek, it means to follow close behind. For two reasons. Number one, many times if you don't follow close behind, you get lost. Okay? One of the most scary things when we were in training in some of these jungle places overseas and in Singapore, when it is dark, now you put your hand here, you cannot see. Alright? And you're in, as infantry soldiers, you're not supposed to have light. Because you have need to have light discipline. In the dark, in the pitch darkness, a candlelight can be seen for kilometers. So they say, you better be careful, no light. Okay, so we're very scared. So we always follow very close behind. And there's one joke, we say, if you follow close behind, and you're the last man, you make sure there's no one else behind.
Because you don't know who else is behind. And so they always have these stories to come. But anyway,
but we need to follow him, follow close. In John, let's look at John chapter 12, verse 26. Like Jesus said this: if any man serve me, if any man serve me, let him follow me. If you are serving me, Jesus said, it comes as a package. I want you to follow me as well. Because you cannot do the serving yourself. You cannot base on what you think to serve. You need to follow me. That's what Jesus said. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. The Lord Jesus makes it clear, if you want to serve him, you need to be following him. In fact, it's a prerequisite. You cannot serve Christ if you're not following him. You know why? Because if you serve him, but you don't follow him, based on whose principles are you serving Christ on? Does that make sense? If I'm to be an architect, for example, I join Bar Roberts' firm, okay? And the boss says, hey, you go and take care of this, Johnny, and you don't know much. And so let's pretend, I say, Bar Roberts, don't worry, I know how to do. And I anyhow draw. And all he does is every time can't correct me. Every time can't correct me. You know, after 1 or 2 months, the boss will say, sorry, you're wasting our time, bye-bye. But if I follow him, and what, okay, Johnny, you know, you do this, drawing, you need to draw, okay. Then whatever he do, I do. After 2 or 3 months, I should learn the trade better, right? And after he may say, okay, you know, go do this one. Say, okay, that's not too bad, but you know, you need to work on this. And over time, I began to learn what the company requires and do it according to what the company wants. Christians, we cannot serve God based on our own thinking. That's why we need to follow Christ. Because the decision is made to follow Him first. Because Jesus says, follow me, follow me. Look at Luke 6, verse 40, which is the next verse. The disciple is not above his master. The disciples is not above his master. But everyone that is perfect. You know what's the meaning of perfect? When I read that, it's very interesting. The word perfect means mature thoroughly. But there's another layer of meaning which is so interesting. The word perfect means repair. Repair. Have you ever had a broken clock or broken computer, a crash or something, you know, and you know, you type in and all the different things come out on your screen. So it's broken, right? Then when you send to a computer shop, they repair it and they send it back to you and it's as good as new. In other words, it's perfect. We who were broken by sin, torn apart by our own selfishness perhaps and pride and sin, that, you know, God says, you follow me and I will perfect you. I will repair you to the stage that you can be used. I can say many Christians perhaps are at stages whereby God still needs a lot of repair work in our lives. But Jesus says here, everyone that is perfect shall be as his master, as Christ. The master is Christ. In other words, when you begin to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what will happen? Your character will be drawn closer and closer. You will be like Jesus more and more as you serve him. Does that make sense? Because Jesus says, if you are following me, you'll be with me. And if you are repaired, you will be like me. That's what Jesus says. So what does it mean to follow Christ? I give you a few verses. Number one, we need to think the way he thinks. In Philippians 2 verse 5, you look at your verses there. Philippians 2 verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, we need to think the way Jesus thinks. You know, in Philippians 2, you know what was... Philippians 2 is the most important passage. It's called the kenosis chapter. The outpouring. In other words, or rather the chapter where Jesus poured out himself. Although he is God, he became a man. In other words, he humbled himself so much that he was willing to do the job of a slave. But you know what God says? He was obedient not only as a slave, but he was obedient to the point that he was willing to be humiliated and die as the worst kind of criminals. Do you realize the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? The crucifixion is the most severe punishment ever invented by man. The Bible says the King of Glory was willing to humble himself so much that he was willing to die, even in the worst of situations. For who? Listen to this. For undeserving you and me. Undeserving. You know what Jesus says? Let this mind be in you. Christians, are you listening to think the way Jesus thinks? Jesus died for unworthy men like us. King of Glory. Say, I want those people who are Christians to have the humility of heart to not only perform the job of a slave, but to be stepped upon to the point that you will die the worst death for him. You need to think the way God thinks, number one. Number two, you need to do what he does. In John 13, verse 15, Jesus says, I have given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. You should do as I've done to you. Jesus says, I've given you an example. You are to perform that which I have done to you. In the context of John 13, Jesus once again washed the feet of the disciples. I've said that during church camp. I'll say it again. During that time in John chapter 13, I think we all need to understand, I shared that with the Chinese people last week, 2 weeks ago. It is a custom habit of those days that those people who invite you to when you come together to eat, they will walk from a house to house. In between, you will always walk on dusty roads. Your leg will always be caked, you know, caked, meaning that there's a lot of dust and dirt. So the very first thing, that when you go into a house, the people of the house will wash your leg first. Because your leg is very dirty. That is the custom. Listen, the job is only done by slaves. Only done by slaves. Okay? So, Jesus and the whole group of disciples, they went for the Last Supper. You call it the Last Supper? Everyone walked in. Everyone's leg is dirty. Who do you think they should wash? Who do you think should wash whose legs? Should the disciples wash the Lord Jesus' legs because he's the master? Wouldn't that be the way to the appropriate thinking? You know what? No one initiated to wash Jesus' feet. Youth, I hope you remember what I taught you during the youth camp last year to be a servant. Jesus knew there was something within humankind that will not serve. You know what that is? Pride. That's not my job. I'm one of the people who eat. And so when Jesus initiated there, you know what he was teaching these people? If you read John chapter 13, he's saying, what I've done to you, I'm your master and Lord. If I'm your master and Lord, and I've washed your feet, you know what Jesus says to the church today? Disciples representing the church, I want each of you to learn, to be humble enough to wash each other's feet. The washing of feet is not to be a ritual. It is said, you need to learn to serve one another with humility of heart. We need to do what Jesus has done. In John chapter 13, we need to follow him. And then in John 13, 14, 15, we need to serve as he served. He said, if I then your master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash in one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I've done to you. Christians, are we following Christ fully? Following Christ involves thinking the way he thinks, doing the things he does, serving the way he serves. So how do we follow Christ? I'll just give you a few verses. In Mark chapter 3, verse 14, just listen to the scriptures. He appointed 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them out. Anyone who chooses to serve Christ, listen to this. The first thing you must do is to spend much time with Christ. Because in Mark chapter 3, 14, and he appointed 12 that they might be with him so that they can send them out. Christians, we can't serve God if we don't have a daily relationship with God. Jesus says in John 15 verse 4, abide in me and I in you. The word abide means to pitch your tent. Stay put. Don't move around. Don't be so distracted. Stay put. Abide in me and then let my words abide in you. And I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you. Except ye abide in me. Christians, you and I will never bear fruit unless we abide in Jesus Christ. Because it is from him that we will get the spiritual strength to continue the ministry. It is from him that we will get the spiritual nutrients so that the fruit will grow. Christians, when was the last time you won someone to Christ? I'm not talking about talking to someone. When was someone, you actually won someone to Christ? I speak this to my own shame. We need to abide in Christ. When was the last time you saw one of your characteristics, negative ones, overcome? Because the fruit of the Spirit is a change in character as well. Okay? We need to follow Christ. How much time do we spend with God? God cannot use us if we're not willing to change and follow him. Point number three. In verse number 19, second part, we need to make a choice to hear his call We need to follow Him. And number three, we need to know He calls us for the purpose of being a witness for Him. A witness for Him. Now, what is the purpose of God's call? The Bible says what? Follow me and what? I will make you what? Fishers of men. Do you realize this is a consistent call in the Bible? God does not call us to a certain ministry. I just learned that recently. And I thank God for that, but so as a Christian, made me realize the scriptures never talk about I'm called to a certain ministry. Because you know why? I'll just explain why. God doesn't call us to a certain ministry in the local church. We are responsible to serve Him in the opportunities that He has given us. Does that make sense? He has called us to certain roles in the Bible, such as the pastor, the evangelist, even deacons. But other than these, we do not see any calling into such ministry in the Bible. I'll give you an illustration. In our house as a family, okay, we have many members, right? Okay, how many of you children say, Papa, Mama, I'm called to sweep the house only. I'm called to sweep the kitchen floor. Parents, what will you say, children? Don't give me that rubbish. You go and sweep the floor too. Right? We're not going to do that. Oh, Mama, I'm only called to stacking my books in my shelf. Say, please, you're a member of the family. Let's just put your responsibilities there. You know, all of us need to recognize this. Unless someone can tell me from the scriptures there's a call to a particular ministry, then let's be ready. God called us together in Ephesians 4:11-13 that we might all build up for the work of the ministry. Do you know why God doesn't call us to ministries in the church? Listen to this. God doesn't call us to do things He knows we can do. He doesn't need to call us to areas that He knows we can do. Amen? Parents, when you tell your children to sweep the floor, I'm sure you ensure your children all hold a broom, right? And sweep, like play golf, you know, sweep all the dust into the dustpan, right? Generally, they will be able to do that. He calls us to an area, usually, when He calls us where He needs us, where we probably will not be able to do without His help, so that His glory will shine for the world to see. Does it make sense? I think we need to be very clear as a church. Let's eradicate the idea I'm called to a ministry. No, you're not. It's your responsibility to serve where there's a need in the local church. God calls people to the field. Where, without God's help, you will not survive. That's a calling of God on your life. A calling comes with criteria. Does it make sense? When God calls you, there's a criteria, like the apostles, so that we can be sure of the calling. We are all responsible to serve God in the local church. The calling of God is interesting for full-time. You know why? It is always to the ministry of bringing people back to God. God says, I'm calling you to be a follower, so that you'll be a fisher of men. In Luke 5, remember when Peter was said, God, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. What did Jesus say? Fear not, from henceforth ye shall catch men. It's always to the ministry of reconciliation, bringing people back to God, to be a fisher of men. But Brother Johnny, where is your biblical substantiation? Let me read a few passages. In Isaiah 6, verse 8, let me just read, you just listen. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall we send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, Lord, send me. Verse 9, go and tell this people. Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see indeed, but perceive not. Jeremiah 1, verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I know thee. And before thou camest forth out of his womb, the womb, I sanctified thee, and I appointed you, ordained you, a prophet unto the nations. A prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah 1 verse 6, but Allah God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Jeremiah protested, no, God, you cannot use me. God used him for 55 chapters in the book of Jeremiah. Amos chapter 7 verse 14. Let me just read. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah the king, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman. I mean, I was someone who just gathered fruit, and I'm just a gardener, not gardener, a farmer. In Amos 7:15, the Lord took me as I followed the flock. Notice what God did. Amos was just busy doing his business. And what did God do? And the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore, hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy now against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Amen. Saying, look, when I was busy with my own task, God called me. So I'm here because God called me to be here to tell you to repent. Amos. In the New Testament, the calling of the apostles are for the specific purpose of preaching the word of God, winning people to Christ, and testify the resurrection of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. God is still calling today. There are many people who are not listening to what God is calling. God is needing people on the field today. There are many Christians who are more concerned. I'm here to tell you God is calling today. I'll read a quote later on. He's still calling. That's the three point, your final response. God is calling us. What is your response? Look at the response of the disciples, or rather the apostles in verse 20. The moment Jesus says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. What did they do? The word straightway means immediately left their nets. Straight away, immediately. Now, when Jesus said, follow me, drop, and go. Where did they go? They didn't go to become fishers yet. They're not ready. That's why for those who believe God, you believe that God has called you to the full time, look, there is a period of training. There's a period of training. God gave me 10 to 12 years of that training before I became the pastor. And there are many things I went through. For those who would like to serve God, remember there's a period of training. And we must be ready for that kind of training. Because the apostles were ready. See, they dropped their nets, they followed. They followed. And then the Bible also says, they left their nets, their occupation, and followed him. Let me just read some of the quotes from people who have gone to the field. The response of Peter, Andrew, James, and John was they follow Christ when Christ called. Remember, this call to full-time, call to service. But can I say, Christians, God is just calling you to, hey, what are you doing for me? Christians are not supposed to just sit there in church week after week, not doing anything. This is spoken by John Keith Falconer, who was a Scottish missionary to the Arabians. I have but one candle of life to burn. I would rather burn it out in a land filled with darkness than in a land flooded with light. We have 600 over churches in Singapore. Our neighbors, Malaysia. Singapore has 6 million people. Our neighbors, Malaysia, has close to 32 million people. John Falconer says, I would rather burn my life in a place of darkness. Wouldn't that be true? If you have a candle, wouldn't you use it in a place of darkness? You know, Christians, we stay in the light all the time. God uses men who are weak and feeble enough to lean on him. Spoken by Hudson Taylor, missionary to China. The spirit of Christ is in the spirit of missions. The nearer we get to him, the more intensely missionary we become. Christians, if we are not better soul winners, there is a problem with our Christian lives. I said it with my heart, because Jesus' heart is to win people to Christ. The Son of Man came not to seek to save the righteous, but people who are perishing. This is spoken by Henry Martin, missionary to India and Persia. In the vast plain to the north, I have sometimes seen in the morning sun the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary has ever been. Robert Moffat, who was the father-in-law of David Livingstone, who went to Africa as well. This is important for Christians who think that our service is great in the sight of God. Listen to what David Livingstone said. If a commission by an earthly king is considered an honor, if someone, as a president, who's the president now? President Tony Tan, come and tell you, hey, I want you to cook something for me. Is it a sacrifice or an honor? It's an honor. If a commission by an earthly king is considered an honor, listen, how can a commission by the heavenly king be a sacrifice? Christians, we've got it upside down. You know what is sacrifice? Our eyes are on things of this world, not on things above. spoken by David Livingstone. C.T. Studd, probably the world's best cricketer. You know cricketer? The Indian game cricketer. But also missionary to China, India, and Africa. Some wish to live within the sound of a chapel bell. In other words, I want to live near to a church. You know what C.T. Studd said? I wish to run a rescue mission within a year. Someone to live in comfort. You know what C.T. Studd said? No, I want to start a mission right beside hell where I can block people from going. God's calling. No one has the right to hear the gospel twice where there remains someone who has not heard it once. We've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ here again and again and again and again and again. What are we doing with it? What are we doing with it, Christians? I thank God there are people who are reaching out. But you know what? Millions of people out there still do not know Christ. You know, every Wednesday I would ask this question, have you heard the name of Jesus? You know, it's sad that in a population with 600 churches, there are still people living in Yishun, Sembawang, Woodlands who have never heard the name of Jesus, nor what he has done for them. Oh yeah, they may hear the name of Jesus, but they do not know that he died to save them from their sins. We talk much of the second coming. Half the world has never heard the first. Is that something for us, Christians? If ten men are carrying a log, nine of them on the little end, and one at the heavy end, and you want to help, which end will you go? If there was a big heavy log, and nine of them were on the little end, one of them on the heavy end, which side will you go? If you have a choice, where will you go? Would you help the one with the heavy end? Or the nine with the lighter end? This was spoken by William Bolton when he saw that 90% of missionaries in this world go to the 10% that speak English. When 10% of missionaries of this world are trying to reach 90% of this world's lost who don't speak English, which end will you be? William Bolton went and wanted to be a missionary to China. He was an Englishman. He died before he could reach there. Only as the church fulfills her missionary obligation does she justify her existence. Christians, you listen to me as pastor. The moment we stop thinking about souls out there, our church starts to die. The moment we stop thinking of winning people to Christ, discipling them for Christ, our church starts to die. It is not in our choice to spread the gospel or not. It is our death if we do not. And one final one. I believe that each generation God has called enough men and women to evangelize all the yet unreached tribes of this earth. It is not God who does not call. It is man who does not respond. Man, where are you? Ladies, where are you? The first century church turned the known world upside down. Amen? We know it recorded in Scripture. The entire world knew Christ in one generation. Today, with the expense of internet, we are still people unable to hear the gospel. Why? Is Isobel Kun, the missionary to China and Thailand, what he said is true? God is calling, but man is not responding. But Johnny, this doesn't meet my needs. If we have that thought, doesn't meet my niece's message. Jesus says, follow me. That's the first thing. Jesus doesn't ask us to do the work until we follow him. Because he knows if we go to the work without following him, we're dead meat. We are no match for Satan out in the field, by the way. You know, people like Brother Soul and Brother David Clown, and those people whom we support and earnestly pray for them. You know, the type of things they have to go through. Only God can sustain them out. We are just giving a few dollars for them to... You know how much things God has to sustain them. But you know what? God is still calling men to fight. Fight for him. Christians, as we close, is God calling you to full time? Christian service to bring people back to Christ. Is God calling you to follow him? Let's not talk about the full time. I believe some of you God is calling. But is God calling you to just follow Him? What does it mean? Just be baptized. Is that? All about you, it will be an honor for me to join a group that serves the King of Kings. What about doing the simple things that God calls us to do? We have many lambs. We have many young people, teens, that need someone to just invest some time in their lives. Is God calling you to follow Him? There are some of you who may not have trusted Christ and may say, Brother Johnny, this is an inspiring message, but you know, I don't care, I'm not a Christian anyway. You know what? Jesus came to tell me, to tell you, He loves you. He came to die for you. And through His grace, He wants to win you back. He's not going to force you. But if you are a Christian, if you're not a Christian, recognize this. When Jesus came, He wasn't coming for Himself. He came for us. And if you say, Brother Johnny, I don't understand much, but I do know if Jesus Christ came to save me from my sin, and that means I need to put my trust in Him that will save me from hell and sin, then I want to know more. It's a simple message. Are you listening to God's call in your life, Christians? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. I pray that the courts of men of old, people who have gone to the field, be a challenge for us. Lord, we're all Christians here. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 20 tells us very clearly, Lord, you're not just calling us to salvation anymore. You're calling us to serve Him. Serve Him with the right heart. Serve Him with the motivation that nothing between me and the Savior. God, souls are going to keep dying and going to hell. When you think of the 1,400 people who were killed by the chemical weapons in Syria, I don't know how many of them, Lord, actually are Christians. Lord, I don't know how many people daily dying on the roads of Singapore never had a chance to hear the gospel. Lord, are we so caught up with ourselves that we fail to recognize your heart? Your eyes closed, heads bowed. I just want to ask this question. Is the Lord speaking to you? Firstly, Christians, maybe you're a mature Christian. Have the Lord spoken to you about full time? Remember, full time is not just going and doing admin work in the church. It's about winning people to Christ, about being somewhere out there where God needs you most, and without you, someone will be lost forever. I'm not dramatizing, it's what? Is there someone who said, Brother Johnny, as a Christian, I have an impression in my heart that God wants me to do that. I'd like to pray for you and perhaps converse with you after. Or is there someone who said, Brother Johnny, pray for me, that God will crystallize this thought in my heart. Is there anyone? Just put up the right hand. I'll pray for you. And I'll ask God to work in your heart. I know it's going to be a serious thing. Or maybe God is calling. Is there anyone like that? Just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you. You could be a teenager. You could be a young adult. Married, whatever. It's God calling us. Is there anyone? I believe God is calling me. I need you to pray for me. Is there anyone? Or maybe you're struggling. If you are struggling with that, can I also pray for you? Just put your right hand. I'll pray for you that God will give you the grace and strength. Is there anyone? Just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you. All right, if you're here today, you're not a Christian. You don't know about Christ. And yeah, you have some ideas. But you have never come to a living relationship, a friendship with Jesus Christ. And say, Brother Johnny, today, I'd like to make that decision. Jesus loved me so much that He died for me. How can I reject Him? Is there anyone who says, Brother Johnny, I want to know more about this good news that Jesus Christ died to save me from my sin so that I can be in heaven forever? Is there anyone like that? Brother Johnny, pray for me. What I'll do is I'll pray for you and I'll get someone to share with you what God has for you from the Bible. Is there anyone? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. It will not come back unto you void. I know that. We know that. And Father, I firmly believe that perhaps there are some people in this congregation, Lord, that you are touching their hearts about. So Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. We just commit the outcomes of this message into your blessed hands. with the list of witnesses, Lord, from C.T. Studd to Isabel Kuhn to Hudson Taylor to even William Carey and all these people who challenge us for the souls of this world. God, save us from the distraction of Singapore. Save us, Father, that we will not be so occupied with our own business we forget your business. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to move in our hearts. Lord, I pray, and I know that you are calling people from here, but I pray you give them boldness to stand up for you. They will require eradication, a removal, Father, of our own desires, our own plans, our own ambitions, for what you want. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.